the most intriguing character for me in our Good Friday reading that we just completed is the man Nicodemus. Nicodemus embodies discipleship in both its uncertainties and its faithfulness. The account of Nicodemus, the one we hear this evening today, is not the first one in the Gospel of John. You may recall that earlier in John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to see Jesus, and he comes to him at night. It's referenced in our lesson today. He comes at night because he did not want to be seen with Jesus for fear of what his colleagues in the Jewish leadership, the local Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin, what they might say, or might, more honestly, what they might do to him. And it is in this encounter with Jesus that Nicodemus allows that Jesus must be from God. But he still yet does not understand what this means, nor does he fully understand what Jesus tells him. He cannot understand Jesus' lordship yet. We'll move along a couple chapters in the Gospel of John. We get to chapter 7, and here we see Nicodemus again. Now, the chief priests and the other temple leaders are discussing Jesus. He's become quite an annoyance at this point. And they're asking why he hasn't been arrested by the temple police. The reason is the police were moved by Jesus' words. They were moved by what he said, and so they did nothing. And so they accused the temple police of being deceived. And the crowds who were following Jesus, they were accused of being simpletons and cursed. And it was in the midst of this conversation among his colleagues and his fellow leaders that Nicodemus spoke up and said that they were wrong. That their desire to have Jesus arrested was unjust. And the response from the other temple leaders, in fact, was a racist one. They looked at Nicodemus and they said, "Surely you are not also from Galilee. Search and you will see that no prophet is to arise from Galilee." Galilee, you see, was seen by those in Jerusalem, in the big city, as a hick town, as an area full of undesirables. It was the wrong side of the tracks. No way that God would bring a prophet from there. Well, time goes by and the events of the last week of Jesus' life take their course. And after the crucifixion, we read our lesson today that Nicodemus comes to anoint Jesus' body and give him a proper Jewish burial. Now, I will not and honestly cannot presume to know what Nicodemus or any of the other disciples were thinking at this moment. Still, I submit to you that it is his simple act of devotion to Jesus that intrigues me. In fact, it is the whole of the Nicodemus experience that intrigues me, because his experience, brothers and sisters, is ours. Nicodemus, we are told, first comes to Jesus at night. And I ask you, have you ever gone to Jesus at night? Have you ever sought out the hope and the comfort that Jesus can bring when you're lying alone with only your thoughts and your fears and your anxieties and your hopes and your dreams? Have you, in the midst of your own darknesses, your own fears and insecurities, sought out only what Jesus has promised and what Jesus can give? Have you ever sought the Lord when it was safe, so as not to arouse suspicion? These nighttime encounters with Jesus, when we are seeking to understand what it means to follow him, to trust him, to believe in him, are, I believe, something that we all can understand. Later, Nicodemus speaks up for Jesus among those who do not embrace him. How often have you found yourselves in a like situation? And sometimes perhaps you have shared your belief. You have stood up for your faith. And at other times, maybe just to be polite, you shy away. I know I have. It can be dangerous to follow Jesus. And Nicodemus is finding this out. It can be dangerous to our status, to our friendships, even within our family. Sometimes the world is defiant of Jesus. And to stand up for Him puts us in a difficult position. Sometimes what the world does is make Jesus into a champion of values and virtues that we know are not a part of the Jesus life. And at these times, when we do speak up, we will find that it comes with risk and ridicule. After the crucifixion, though, Nicodemus acts as if he has nothing to lose. He goes and anoints Jesus' body for burial. I find it intriguing that it is only in the aftermath of the crucifixion, of the cross, that Nicodemus feels free to act on his faith. We live, of course, in the aftermath of the cross. And perhaps it is only in the shadow of the crucifixion that we can most fully understand why Jesus is Lord. Of course, we know that the narrative changes in a couple days. Something that will help us make even more sense of it all. Still, it is in the cross of Jesus, in the wondrous cross of Jesus, that we see God drawing us closer to Him. It is in recognizing what the cross symbolizes, I believe, that calls us to follow Jesus even more fully. I've often wondered why the Christian symbol is not a stone. You know, to represent the empty tomb, the stone that was rolled away. A symbol of the resurrection of Jesus. Yet instead, inside of our churches, around our necks, on our automobiles, in our art, we have the cross. We have an instrument of death, a cruel, disgusting, tragic instrument of death as our symbol. Why? Is it because we are a morose crowd, us Christians? Is it because we are macabre in some way? No, it is because it is through the lens of the cross that we see most clearly who Jesus is, who God is, and what Jesus' mission and ministry is all about. It is through the lens of the cross that we see Jesus' call upon our discipleship, a call to sacrificial living for the sake of others, especially for those on the margins and those around us. It is through the lens of the cross that we are showed the fullness of our brokenness and sin, but also the lengths to which our God is willing to go to bridge the chasm of our separation. And it is through the lens of the cross that we literally see the arms of God outstretched to incorporate love for the whole world. We, like Nicodemus, can remember when we first came to know Jesus and to go through that journey of finding out what it means to follow Him. We, like Nicodemus, though, also struggle to embrace Jesus, especially amidst people and events and situations, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the world, that can cause us to have concern and doubt. Still, like Nicodemus, We have been changed in through these 6 hours of trial that the Lord went through on our behalf. We, like Nicodemus, then can seek to embrace Him in our own lives of faith through the little and the grand acts of devotion and love that you perpetuate towards others on His behalf. Good Friday is a paradox. Good Friday is both tragedy and it is victory. It is both bad news and good news. The cross is where God shows you exactly how much you are loved and valued. The story of Nicodemus is that he came to know this. May you do the same. In Jesus' name, amen.